Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, friends, Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Happy Sunday. Happy Lord's Day. It is the 3rd of February, 2019. Hope you are doing well today, and thanks for joining me for a few moments of prayer and reflection on our ongoing battle to save children in the womb from the violence of abortion. We are dealing in these days with really horrendous and incredible actions and declarations by some of our nation's governors and state legislators, and some good response from our pro-life legislators. We're going to talk about both of those things, but first, let me take a moment of prayer with you, and then let me give you my daily diary segment, and then we'll go into my reflections for this morning. This book is Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. You can get a copy at prolifereflectionsforeveryday.com. I'll be glad to send you a signed, personalized copy to accompany your prayer life throughout the year and focused on our care for the children in the womb. Psalm 96, verse 13 says, "He will judge the world with justice and the nations with equity." Reflection. Some abortion advocates oppose litmus tests for judges. But if a judge had written an opinion about why women should not have the right to vote, wouldn't that be enough to disqualify him from being considered? The fact is that we use litmus tests all the time because certain lines should never be crossed. The killing of children by abortion is one of them. Let us pray. Lord, judge of all, give wisdom to those entrusted with the task of human judgment, and let those who select them be guided by your righteousness. Amen. Pro-Life Reflections for Everyday.com. Friends, let me share with you my daily diary segment for today, Sunday, February 3rd of 2019. Since my last segment, I have been here at our headquarters and working from morning to night here in my office during the day, of course, with our staff members. And it's been a combination of radio broadcasts, online broadcasts like the one I'm doing right now, planning for our pastoral team meeting, which takes place this week, where we bring in various members of our pastoral team and other staff that work in other cities to come here to headquarters so that we can plan and move forward on various projects and constantly increase the quality of the service that we give to you and to all others who are involved in the movement to protect children in the womb. We have also planning going on, and a lot of my time has been taken up with getting ready to welcome at the end of this coming week national pro-life leaders from across the country and from across the spectrum of the pro-life movement coming right here to the Priests for Life headquarters for a three-day strategy summit meeting. We play this role within the pro-life movement and have for many years, helping the leaders to communicate with one another, helping them to map out strategy, and we are going to do so again this coming weekend. So a lot of preparation goes into that. I've also been involved with making some decisions about hiring new staff, and we've selected some new people that we are going to hire, and as well as communicating with additional priests who are going to be working with us on a part-time basis. There are various priests around the country that when we have a group invite us to come, for example, if I'm already occupied or Father Dennis Wild is already occupied somewhere else, we have other priests that we call upon who gladly step in and will go and give a talk or give a pro-life mass. And these priests, like myself, are of one mind in terms of the pro-life strategy that we have to undertake in these days. So I've been busy communicating with them and making other arrangements with staff members who are here working on various projects. And it's as simple as that. I've been here during these days and coming to you, always glad to come to you, by means of these broadcasts, and that's my Daily Diary segment. Well, brothers and sisters, Governor Cuomo keeps getting it wrong. Andrew Cuomo is the governor of New York State, and he horrified people across the country by celebrating late-term abortion. Now, he must have some inkling that our country is actually moving in the opposite direction, away from late-term abortion. In fact, away from abortion generally. The reason I say that is we have had votes in various Congresses of late on a bill because of the fact that babies feel pain, babies in the womb feel pain. We have had various votes in the last few Congresses on a measure that would protect babies who feel pain from 20 weeks in the womb and beyond. That measure enjoys strong public support. It's been passed by the House of Representatives, still has to overcome some hurdles in the Senate, but many states also have enacted that law. And the law follows public opinion. If you look at opinion polls that are released regularly about Americans' positions on abortion, you see that a majority of the American people, and strong majorities in fact, oppose the abortion of babies after 20 weeks of pregnancy. In fact, most people who believe abortion should be allowed at all believe it should be allowed only in the first trimester. The nation is moving further and further away from late-term abortion. The realities of late-term abortion are being exposed by cases like Kermit Gosnell of Philadelphia, now serving life in prison for killing babies too late in pregnancy and even after birth. He's serving life in prison. Maybe Governor Cuomo needs to apologize to Kermit Gosnell, because had Gosnell been practicing under the current New York law, he wouldn't have to spend the rest of his life in jail. Cuomo, why don't you go visit Gosnell? The two of you have a lot to talk about. Then, of course, you have cases like, well, over the last several years, the videos that have exposed the work of Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts. This is part of an investigation that I've been involved in for two decades, working with our friend Mark Crutcher 20 years ago. We were exposing the sale of body parts. And this, of course, is deeply connected with late-term abortion, because they have to kill these babies in the later stages of pregnancy in order to get usable livers, brains, arms and legs, hearts, etc. If you find what I'm saying unbelievable, do a little bit of research on it and you'll see that it's true. So we have, as a result of these various developments and more, an awakening in our country about late-term abortion. I mean, people have generally not even been aware that it happens, much less that it is so grisly. But that awareness has been increasing like a snowball. Now, my thinking is that the other side sees this, they know it, and when they see this happening in opinion and in public awareness and in legislation, more and more opposition to late-term abortion. And meanwhile, on the level of the courts, thanks to President Trump and the Republican Senate, the courts are moving more in the same direction in favor of pro-life, including the Supreme Court. The other side is getting very nervous and they say, uh-oh, there's no way out of this. The way we have to try to get out of it is to, in fact, embrace, destigmatize, legitimize, and even celebrate late-term abortion. And hence, New York ushers in a law allowing abortion up until the day of birth and failing even to protect babies who were born alive after birth, because that happens in abortion clinics, that the abortion may fail to kill the baby and the baby ends up being alive outside the mother, and the abortionist kills the baby anyway, or just lets the baby die, which is killing by omission. Wow. Governor Cuomo is wrong. Other, like the governor of Virginia also, is wrong in speaking up in favor of this kind of thing. Legislators in Virginia, in Rhode Island, governor of Rhode Island is wrong on this as well. And legislators there who have been pushing for these extreme abortion laws, committee in New Mexico. And by the way, what party is controlling all this, just in case you didn't know? What party is behind all this? Every single one of these pro-abortion zealots and fanatics are Democrats. Go back and ask those you know in the Democrat Party leadership, whether locally or nationally, what is it these days about being a member of the Democrat Party that requires being in favor of killing babies? I'd like to know what the answer to that question is. But I want to go back to Governor Cuomo and respond to a particular statement that he made. Now, excuse me just for one second. Let me make sure this camera is set correctly. All right, looks like we're good. Thank all of you who are watching with us right now. Governor Cuomo said something about his father, I remember, Mario Cuomo, and Cardinal O'Connor, who ordained me to the priesthood and allowed me to do Priest for Life work full time, a work which I will continue doing all my life, and we will see the end of abortion, and I will not take one moment of time or ounce of energy to do anything else in my life than ending abortion. He said, my father dealt with the same issues on choice more than anything else. His point was that his job is to interpret and make laws in civil society. Well, yes, we know that that's the role of lawmakers and governors. We're dealing with civil laws. We're not asking you to appoint bishops. We're not asking you to judge matters of religious doctrine decide what the formula would be for how to administer a sacrament. We're not asking you to ordain priests or choose the Sunday readings for Mass. We know that the role of a governor, the role of a legislator too, is to create and enact laws for civil society. We know that. Now here's where he goes wrong. He and his father like him. Cuomo says, quote, we don't legislate religious beliefs. Now, I've got a smile at that one because, first of all, Governor Cuomo, you and your pro-abortion friends, don't you ever update your talking points? I mean, come on. This is 2019. Don't you guys ever update your talking points? That's number one. Number two is you got it wrong. You got it wrong. You so have it wrong that one has to wonder if it's gross ignorance or if it's deliberate deception. I want to know which one it is. Because here's how you have it wrong. The religious belief that would say you can't kill children in the womb also says you can't kill children who are 2 years old or 5 years old or people who are 20 years old. It's the same religious belief. That people are made in the image and likeness of God, that God alone is the Lord of human life, that he bestows the right to life, that taking the life of an innocent human being is contrary to his plan, to his will, that it's a sin. You can dress this up in all kinds of religious language, and it's very legitimately a clear religious belief. But you see, here's where you get it wrong, that somehow legislating to protect the life of a child in the womb is somehow more of a religious aspect or belief than legislating to protect people outside the womb. What about the law that protects you and me? Let's think about this. Is there a religious element to that? So people look at you and me, oh, yeah, I really hate those guys. You know what? I don't believe they have a soul. I don't believe they're even human. That Father Frankie says things that are so crazy. That Governor Cuomo, he does things that are so crazy. I don't believe that they're even human beings. Now, what if somebody said that? That they don't believe, and I'm sure there are people out there who don't believe, Governor Cuomo, that you and I even have a soul. If there's somebody out there who doesn't believe you and I are human, have they broken any law? How do we legislate those religious beliefs? Have they broken the law or not? You see, the law doesn't punish people for their beliefs. It shouldn't. It's not meant to. So if a person says, I don't believe that this adult is human. I don't believe that that adult has a soul. By not believing that, they have not broken the law. But if based on not believing that, they try to take your life or mine or the life of any other adult, they certainly break the law. And I presume that you, your father, and any lawmaker who has a conscience would agree that part of the purpose of civil law is to protect that life anyway. Even if somebody else, even if many other people didn't believe that person had a soul, even if many people didn't believe you and I were human, the law has to step in and say, believe what you want, don't believe what you don't want, but don't lay a hand on that person. You can't take their life. You see, the purpose of the law, and Governor Cuomo, I would think that as a governor, you know this, and I say the same to the governor of Virginia and the governor of Rhode Island and all of you out there, and you lawmakers too, I presume you understand that the civil law protects people despite others' beliefs. It's not because of others' beliefs. It's despite others' beliefs. Despite the beliefs of a person who thinks that one of our citizens or many of our citizens are infidels and therefore they can fly airplanes into buildings. Despite the belief of those who might say somebody else is not worthy of protection and therefore engage in all kinds of gun violence. What's the law supposed to say? Oh, you have to believe A, B, C, and D? Does the law give them a set of doctrines? Does the law hand them a catechism telling them what they have to believe about their potential victims? Or does it not have any regard for their beliefs and simply say, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what they believe, you don't kill innocent human beings? My goodness, you know, you see, this is why I say, I don't know if this is gross ignorance or the deliberate attempt to deceive, but you have got it so wrong. Why don't you wake up? We don't legislate religious beliefs. What kind of nonsense is this? You think we want to legislate? Oh, if people don't acknowledge that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, there's going to be a $200 fine, and it'll increase to $600 the second time they say that. If somebody doesn't go to Catholic Mass and receive communion, they are going to be subject to extra taxation. If somebody doesn't acknowledge the Blessed Virgin Mary, they are subject to arrest. That's legislating religious beliefs. Or simply saying that according to law in the United States, you have to be a Roman Catholic, or you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or there will be a fine or a penalty imposed on anybody who does not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's legislating religious beliefs. But you can't chop the head off of a baby or dismember a child or kill a living human being or inject poison in a baby's heart or stab scissors in the back of a baby's neck. And these are the ways that some abortion procedures are performed. You think that's legislating religious beliefs? Again, I ask, what's the matter with you? It's no more of a religious basis for protecting babies in the womb than it is a religious basis for protecting babies or adults outside the womb. The law is not meant to impose a religious belief. The law protects people despite the beliefs of others who may not regard them as worthy of life. That's the purpose of the law. It looks at the life of the individual and says that life must be protected. Let's follow this example just a little bit further. Somebody kills somebody in the street. Senseless act of gun violence. You Democrats are all in favor of cracking down on that, right? Liberals is one of your favorite topics. So somebody shoots somebody randomly out on the street or out in the mall, is hauled before the court, is asked to account for his or her actions, and says, well, Your Honor, I didn't believe that my victims were human persons. Well, you tell me what the judge is supposed to say. Sir, ma'am, I don't care about your beliefs. The law doesn't care about your beliefs. You don't believe that your victim was a human person? You don't believe that your victim had a soul? No. What the law here is concerned about is that you killed them. They have the protection of the law, therefore you are a lawbreaker and you're going to prison. That's how it works, or am I missing something? You know, I spoke once with abortionist, I spoke more than once with him, abortionist Martin Haskell. This was the man, when the debate raged just over two decades ago about partial birth abortion, it was his medical paper that had ignited the debate. It was teaching other doctors how to perform this procedure in which the baby is partially delivered and then stabbed in the back of the neck with scissors. Now, a federal law was passed as a result prohibiting that particular abortion procedure. These babies can still be killed by other late-term abortion procedures, but thank God President George W. Bush signed the partial birth abortion ban into law. But I had the conversation with the abortionist, and I said, tell me, Dr. Haskell, how do you justify doing this? You know that this is a child. And what he said to me is, I know this is a child, but I don't know when the child receives a soul. Now, here I was talking to him about the medical procedure. He started talking to me about spiritual things. And I said to him, so what? If you don't know when the child receives a soul, then how do you know that the newborn has a soul? And if you don't believe or you don't know whether a newborn has a soul, that gives you the right to kill the newborn. What if you don't believe I have a soul? That gives you the right to kill me. Again, understand, the purpose of the law here, when we say that the law has to protect human life, has nothing to do, Governor Cuomo or anybody else, it has nothing to do with legislating religious beliefs. You know, people are really they're very, very frustrated about all this because you're not talking honestly with us. This is the problem. Not just that the killing itself is going on, that's bad enough. As a public servant, you can't seem to tell the difference between serving the public and killing the public. That's bad enough. But to keep trying to argue this old, tired mantra of the pro-abortion side about, oh, you can't legislate religious beliefs. You show me the law that we introduced or that we lobbied for saying that people have to believe in the Eucharist or else they're going to be put in prison. You show me how we're legislating religious beliefs. But when it comes to the protection of human life, you also tell me what's more basic to the purpose of government and what's more necessary for a governor or a legislator to be focused on than that. Well, brothers and sisters, it goes beyond the baby in the womb, and it has extended now to the baby outside the womb. In fact, it's always been the case that abortionists throughout this country, and I have talked with many of them, and we have had people like Nurse Jill Stanek come forward, and I helped her back in 2000 to get her story out, where she saw was given the baby that was born alive, and they said, we're not going to help this baby at all. This baby is just going to die. Hold the baby until he dies. It's like babies that are marked for abortion are being killed by abortionists even outside the womb. If you don't believe it, again, go talk to Kermit Gosnell. I'm sure he'll be able to fit you into his schedule after he meets with Governor Cuomo. As I suggested earlier, I'm sure he'll talk with you. If you don't believe that babies are being killed outside the womb, ask him why he's spending the rest of his life in prison. Because babies are being killed outside the womb. Now, Dr. Gosnell was successfully convicted of that. And by the way, watch the movie about this guy and about what he did. The movie simply called Gosnell. I want to thank Phelim and Ann, who are the creators of this movie. They consulted with me early on in the process, and we've been in contact ever since, and I've been watching the hard work that they did to get this film out there, and it's been hard work, but they've been so focused and successful in getting this movie out there. It tells a story America needs to hear that's connected with all this other stuff that we see going on in these states. But the point is, Gosnell's case proves that, yes, these babies are being killed outside the womb, but for every Gosnell who gets in trouble for it, there's a whole lot more that are not getting in trouble for it, and it's not even becoming known. Now, This is why Congress has seen fit, has seen the need and responded to the need to pass a law that actually says, and in a lot of states, the same kind of law has been introduced. Understand now what I'm saying. That says that if a baby is scheduled to be aborted, but then somehow the abortion doesn't kill the child, because a lot of these later procedures, you know, the babies are stronger and the procedure does not always involve dismemberment. It involves a form of delivery. And so it's possible that these babies survive depending on how the procedures are done. And so what if that happens? What if the baby is now outside the mother's womb? The abortionist has been paid to kill the child. What are you going to do now? Suddenly reverse gears and try to save the child you're being paid to kill? A lot of them, they don't have the mental, emotional strength to do that, and they don't have the conscience either. And so they either directly, deliberately, actively kill the baby, like Gosnell did, or passively, by omission, kill the baby, quote, just let the baby die. Governor of Virginia had something to say about that. Go back and listen to his words. So the Congress, back in 2002, now that's already 17 years ago, introduced a measure. Jill Stanek's story had gotten out there. We helped her to publicize it. Introduced the measure called the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Look it up. Born Alive Infant Protection Act said that the baby born alive has to be protected. Again, most people think, well, isn't that already the law? Unfortunately, not as clearly and strongly as it needs to be. Okay. Problem is, the law got passed, but doesn't have any enforcement penalties. So now the Congress wants to go back and put those penalties in. Now I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, what happened in the last Congress, and number two, what's happening in this Congress. In fact, it's going to happen tomorrow in the U.S. Senate. And I want to ask you to contact your senators. I'll be sending out an email about this tomorrow. In the last Congress, this bill, now called Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, essentially strengthens and adds penalties for the enforcement of the Born Alive Act. In essence, it's saying the same basic thing, that the baby born alive even after an abortion has to be cared for according to appropriate medical care, and adds the penalties of enforcement to that. So the Congress voted on this a year ago, January of 2018. The House of Representatives voted and passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. But look at the vote. You can go back and look it up. It was a party line vote. What I'm saying is that all but a handful of Democrats said no. Now, we brought this up during our preparation for and commentary on the midterm elections this past November. All but a handful of the Democrats in the United States House of Representatives said no. We don't want a law that's providing that the baby born alive after an attempted abortion be taken to a hospital and cared for. No, 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 no. And most of those Democrats who voted no in January of 2018 to protecting babies born alive were re-elected to the House of Representatives in November of 2018, because voters don't know this. Voters don't know this. And that's why I'm telling you. So now Congress has an opportunity to pass this bill again. Do you think that you can, if your representative in the U.S. House of Representatives is a Democrat who was re-elected to office this past November, in other words, served in the last Congress, if you have a Democratic representative who served in the last Congress, the 115th Congress, and was reelected this past November and now serves in the 116th Congress, I want you to challenge him or her about this bill, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and ask your representative, how in the world did you refuse to protect a baby born alive? We're not talking about unborn children here. We're not talking about even abortion. That's about a baby inside the womb. We're talking about a baby outside the womb. If you have a Democratic member of the House of Representatives who was served in the last Congress and was reelected in this Congress, again, a handful of them voted the right way. Contact yours and find out which way he or she voted. Only a handful voted the right way and said, yes, let's protect these babies. I always think of our friend, Congressman Dan Lipinski. I was just with him at the March for Life. He is a solid pro-life Democratic member of the House of Representatives. But my goodness, when I started working with Priests for Life, there were dozens of pro-life Democrats in the House of Representatives. Now they've vanished. The party has become much more radical on abortion and even on being unwilling to protect babies who survive abortion. Now, final point, the U.S. Senate is going to have an action tomorrow night on this bill. Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska introduced in recent days this Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act and now has implemented a process. There's a Rule 14 process in the Senate by which a measure of great urgency and great importance can skip over some of the procedural steps that are necessary to get a vote on a bill and be given expedited consideration. So the senator is using the rules of the Senate to bring this to the top of the priority list, to the top of the to-do list, and challenging his fellow senators, all 100 of them altogether, to take a clear stand on whether or not they think that the baby born alive after a failed abortion should be protected. So there will be a call for what's called unanimous consent and a measure under Rule 14. Not that you need to know the details, but understand this is being put to the top of the list. He's put in an exclamation point on the urgency of this. And we're going to send out an email. Meanwhile, if you want to sign up today for our emails at stopabortionnow.org, stopabortionnow.org, sign up for the action alerts. And you'll get an email tomorrow indicating how to call your U.S. senators and what to say to them in regard to this very specific action, which is so appropriate in the light of people who, well, like the governor of New York, the governor of Virginia, the governor of Rhode Island, don't seem to get it that life needs to be protected and that protecting a baby, for the law to say, Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that we even have to say this, right? That for the law to say that you have to protect the baby is not the legislating of a religious belief. It's exercising the very purpose of law. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful Sunday. I'm going to come back this evening, and we'll have more things to share. Meanwhile, let's pray together. Lord, bless our nation. Bless our elected lawmakers, bless our church, bless us, and help us to raise our voices in defense of those who have no voice, the babies in the womb, and even the babies newly born who are in danger still of being killed. Help us raise our voices for them, and help us be strong in this effort to defend these children. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and protect you and answer all your prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.